Blog Talk Radio.
Hey everybody, this is Rod. Hey everybody, this is Rod Stitch. And this is all about pressure. We're going to talk about the NBA. We're going to talk a little NBA for a minute. I have Golden State writer Anthony Flower on. He's going to talk about the word. Really lay into Oscar Robertson. Before I get that, I want to talk about the Golden State Warriors Oklahoma Thunder game that went into overtime. It was a great, great game. It was Steph Curry, it was Kevin Durant, Westbrook, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green. You had some drama. It was a little bit of everything in this game. And Curry, I don't care how many times I got to say, this guy is amazing, but he just is, with his behind-the-back three-point shooting. I mean, his effortless way he shoots threes. And he kept Golden State in the game. I thought the Thunder really outplayed it for about 3.5 quarters. Thunder played really well, but they kept getting caught on screens where the big men would be on Curry, like Steven Adams and Kyle Singler, and that's not going to work. And I thought Oklahoma was sloppy, too. OKC had some bad mistakes in the third quarter, some turnovers that kept Golden State in the game. Now, Golden State really could have got blown out if OKC would have executed, because they missed a lot of layups. They were not crisp. I thought Stephen Curry and Klay Thompson's three-point shooting covered some of the sins of the rest of the Golden State team this particular night. Usually it's a great team effort. Tonight, they didn't play as crisp, and Westbrook was able to get to the rack a lot, play with that ferocity as they were taking the 10-point lead, 11-point lead, but Golden State kept creeping back. Steph Curry coming off screens, hitting threes. One three rattled in, and then he hit another off-balance three. Then he caught Singler on a string and popped the three deadly red in his face as he's getting his ankle tended to, because he had hurt his ankle and came back in the game. But Kevin Durant was hitting some cold-blooded threes to give OKC the lead when they lost the lead. And he just, even when Golden State played him to take the three and guard him tight, he still hit the shot over a tough defender. You know, when the fourth quarter came, Curry just said, you know what, I'll just one time he shot over two people. Amazing. Even when Mark Jackson's funny, he said, you know, normally if that's a coach, I'd say that's a terrible shot, but not Curry. And he did. And their goal, okay, so you went up four. With 14 seconds left, you thought the game was over. Durant hits a cold-blooded three. Time to celebrate, OKC. You beat Golden State. And I'm thinking they got him. All right, the Thunder got him this time. No! Klay Thompson drives in the lane, scores with 11 seconds left, and Durant has no one to throw to on the inbounds, gives up a steal, an amazing save by Barnes that goes unnoticed, and then this dumb foul by Kevin Durant. And then Iguodala, not a great foul shooter, but loves pressure shots, nails the free throws, with no problem, we're going to overtime. Now you're in trouble because Durant ends up fouling out of this overtime. And Westbrook tried. But, you know, and they hung in there. They really executed their offense really well. And guys like Robertson and Cantor and guys like that were stepping up, making plays for Westbrook when he drove in the lane. And, you know, Steph Curry here hits a shot, ties the game at 110. And you're thinking, oh, my goodness. Now, OKC has a one-point lead, and they make it a three-point lead, which is amazing. But then Golden State scores on a layup to make it 118-117. They get a stop. Curry has the ball. He pops up around 40 feet for the game winner. And he is the hero. 121-118. Is this hard? Is this an amazing shot? Because normally it's not a good shot, but it was a good shot, in essence. You know, he had 46 points, 3 rebounds, 6 assists, offsetting Durant, 37 points, 12 rebounds, 5 assists. He was fantastic. He is the best shooter I've ever seen in my life. I've seen some great ones. Even his father was one of the best shooters. Del Curry was one of the best shooters I've ever seen. The thing about Steph Curry is he puts in the work. He plays hard. He puts his heart into the game. He really put the work in the offseason. The team did. That's why they are so good at 53-5. The Spurs are not too far behind with 9 losses, so Golden State have to keep winning because the Spurs are on their heels. They can't worry about no record or anything. They're worried about getting the number one seed, which is still up in the air, believe it or not. But I think Curry was fantastic. You know, and I've heard a lot of banter about the old school versus the new school. I think he could play good in any era. Now, it would have been a little tougher in the 90s because of the hand-checking, but I just think a guy that's going to work that hard is going to figure out what he has to do to be good, the work. I see a guy putting in the work, and he has a couple specific skill sets, skill shots, and pet moves. You could play. If you don't have a particular pet move, you're going to struggle. You would have struggled in the 90s because of the hand checking and how good the defenders were. But I'm not going to. You have to balance out your old school, new school argument. Some people are all new school. Some people believe the NBA started in 2003. And they say, oh, you old fuddy-duddy, stop talking so much about what you did. I believe because I've followed and stayed the NBA since Dolph Shaves and George Mikan from the 1950s to Steph Curry right now, because I put in the work and study, I just believe in my heart, because of my research and the eye test and the errors that I've seen and studied and watched, I believe from 1980 to 1996 was the best era of all time in the NBA, with Magic, Bird, and Jordan, and Isaiah, and those guys were the best. And, yeah, they're going to be proud, and I get that. They're going to talk about that, you know. But Oscar Robertson's a little different. I do not like going after an all-time great. But I am now officially sick and tired of hearing anything that comes out of his mouth now. Because he didn't like Magic. He didn't like Jordan. He didn't like anybody in that area. He took some terrible shots at Pete Maravich during a documentary on Pete Maravich, which was unnecessary because he had deceased. You're like throwing more dirt on the dead. That was just horrible, the way he was talking about him. He just comes off as a bitter, old, tired man that just has a lot of anger in him. Now, listen, I will say this. He went to Crispus Attucks High School in Ohio. He played college ball in the late 50s, early 60s. He dealt with some horrible racism. So there's hurt there. There's wounds. But at this point in time in your life, he has to figure out how not to just project that constantly over the airwaves. And the reporters are going to give him the bait. He's going to take it. It's years and years of him taking shot of players. You're like LeBron, and that's his hometown homie. I get you that. I get it. But to just take shots at Curry, dismiss him, dismiss Magic, dismiss Jordan, really dismiss Jordan because of the jealousy. He was extremely jealous of Michael Jordan. So he's going to make up his own reality and say, he wasn't that great. Michael was the greatest player of all time. Sorry, Oscar. Sorry I have to burst your bubble on my show and tell you that. He was the greatest player in any era. So what you need to do is go somewhere and sit down and shut up. And don't, if venom is coming and radioactivity is coming from you, go somewhere and sit down. No one needs to hear from you. You're not giving out real opinions. You're giving out your venom. Nobody wants to hear that. I don't like getting mad on my show, but that bothers me. It's one thing with Weber and Peyton and those guys protect the air and they say, well, our air is good, but they're respectful when they talk. They're not dismissive and nasty. You know, and Jordan and all those guys. Yeah, okay, you didn't have the best era. You know, but they also give guys like Kobe Bryant, who played in this era, love. And you know, the problem with this era is there's no big men. There's no good post player. And they said, the game is more free-flowing. You could have the game free-flowing with a good post guy. 2 years ago, the Spurs won with post play and three-point shooting and penetration and good defense. You can have it all if your coach gives you the proper structure. You have the right great players who understand the game, who have a good IQ. You can have it all. You can have an Akeem Olajuwon in this era. I don't want to hear that nonsense. It's ridiculous. And you know what? Watch out for Miami, and they're playing better too. Uh-oh, I have my guy on. He's Golden State writer Andrew Flower. Did I get your last name right?
Floor, like the ground.
Floor! Oh, my gosh. I practiced that. I butchered it up. I butchered it up like OKC screwed up the last couple of seconds of that game. Oh,
yeah,
my gosh.
Yeah, you're pulling a Kevin Durant there at the end.
Yes, you got the best job in the world. You're going to the most exciting team I've seen in years. I want to talk about that OKC game. It looked like they really outplayed Golden State for 3.5 quarters, but Curry and Thompson seemed like they covered up Golden State's sins where they were missing layups and everything, but their three-point shooting just stabilized them until they got it right.
What's crazy is I think the Warriors hit 14 threes, and 12 of those came from Curry. So he was just on another level. Thankfully, when you play Klay Thompson too far extended out on the three-point line, he now has developed the ability to get to the rim, take a couple dribbles, pull up. He was hitting the mid-range jumpers. But I think you're right. I mean, OKC out-rebounded them by 30 rebounds. It's just incredible that you can stay in a game that close by being that outplayed. That game reminded me a lot of the Portland game a couple weeks back, when Damian Lillard dropped, I think, 51 on the Warriors. That was one of the games where the few times I've seen this season that a team has really just kind of gave the Warriors their own dose of medicine, just coming at them for four straight quarters. And that's what you have to do. And unfortunately for the Thunder, they let up there just at the end, and some of their shots didn't start going in. And thankfully for the Warriors, you know, Steph Curry took over when it was needed most. And I think he's the best fourth quarter shot maker in the NBA. And that's something that is just, I mean, Steve Kerr talks about it all the time. It's just his supreme confidence. He never shies away from the moment. He wants the ball in that time, and he just kind of relishes in it. I mean, you see the smile on his face after it goes in. He's just having fun out there. And I think that's why it's so fun to watch them play, because they're just enjoying themselves playing basketball.
They definitely are enjoying themselves playing basketball. There was an argument that was publicized at halftime with Draymond Green. And Draymond said, "There's much to do about nothing. It's kind of a family issue. Do you make anything out of this?"
I remember hearing that. I think it was Lisa Salters reporting that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, she's standing, obviously, outside of the locker room. So it's hard to really take away. You don't have the exact context where that's coming from. And I think it is in-house. I think you know, what needs to be said in a professional, you know, athlete's locker room is between them. And I've never been in the Warriors locker room, so I can't really comment on it. I don't know any of them personally. But it sounds like whatever was said worked. And to Draymond Green's benefit, he's the type of player, like many guys on this team, that don't need – I mean, like she said, you know, maybe I won't take shots or whatever the report was, but – I think Draymond Green had a double-double and assists and rebounds and maybe scored 2 or 3 points. And, you know, that's what they needed. They need someone to facilitate the ball, bring it up, rebound, play scrappy defense, and that's what Draymond gives you. So if he needs to get fired up at halftime and, you know, need people to yell at him, I mean, I've read stories about him and Kerr getting into some pretty nasty-type arguments, and I think that's kind of Draymond's personality. It needs to be personal for Draymond, because that just fires him up. So that's what it takes. That's what it takes.
I agree with you. Also, I want to talk about unsung here of this team. The best move Golden State made last year was get Shawn Livingston. He is worth his weight in gold. Curry could sit for a while, and they don't really miss a beat because of how good he is in the post, his length, his defense, his ability to make big shots. And
I
thought that was stabilizing because I didn't like any of the other backup point guards that came before him, but I love this kid. He's perfect for this style.
I mean, where he comes in most handy, I think, is his, like you said, his versatility, especially on defense. I mean, he's one of the tallest point guards in the league at 6'7". He's lengthy. He's aggressive. And I think what's most unique about the Warriors on defense is their ability to switch every on-ball, off-ball screen. I mean, there's plays where, you know, Draymond Green might guard three different positions, or Sean Livingston might guard three different positions on one play. You know, he starts on the point guard, gets a pick and roll. Now he's guarding the power forward and the block. And for relatively speaking, they can hold their own. I mean, Harrison Barnes plays a lot of power forward. I mean, everyone on their team can switch on defense, and that just causes nightmares because so much of the Warriors' offense is the Draymond Green, Steph Curry pick and roll, where Curry gets a big man matched up on him and then, you know, all hell breaks loose. So I think that for the Warriors on defense really keeps them grounded and is really unique to their team as a whole that not too many NBA teams have.
But I'm going to tell you something else that makes Golden State difficult. Okay, you want to go and absolutely cover the three-pointer, stay real airtight to Curry and Thompson and Draymond and those guys. The problem is their ability to dribble, break you off the dribble and dish it, and also cut to the basket and get layups.
Yeah.
So they're extremely – this is an extremely difficult offense to deal with because they do a little of everything. They don't have a great post play. They don't need it. What they do instead of post play is beat you backdoor or beat you off the dribble, and then when you rotate, everybody in the team is such a good passer that they're going to get a good possession every single time. And they do that on defense. They rotate their fourth quarter. Everybody talk about their defenses now, but their fourth quarter clutch defense, when it matters, is what I love about this team.
Exactly, and that kind of goes back to Iguodala coming off the bench. Yeah, okay, Iguodala's not going to start, but more often than not, Iguodala's on the floor in the fourth quarter in that crunch time defensive small ball rotation. I mean, like you were saying with the versatility, that group is so versatile, so unique, so quick, so strong. They can switch everything. And like you said, for their offense, the Warriors run, I mean, relatively speaking, a pretty simple offense. It's a lot of just reads, backdoors, you know, cutting, just beating your man to the basket and having players like Bogut and Draymond who can pass out of the high post. And then they got Anderson Varejao, who's also a smart player who can make those reads. He still needs to get into the flow of their pace and style, but he obviously fits in nicely for someone who's coming in this late into the season. But it's so hard to stop them because they're just beating you with basic basketball plays, just backdoors, you know, basket cuts. And everyone on the team has vision. Everyone is willing to make that extra pass, trade a good shot for a better shot. And it's honestly really hard to stop. I mean, the Spurs, the similar style of play that the Spurs have on offense where they're cutting, they're just making smart plays. And that's something Oscar Robinson was saying, you know, that basketball is different in his time. They're playing the most basic form of basketball that you can.
A little while ago. So I'm done with Oscar. I told him to sit down and shut up. So I'm past that. But I want to talk about the dates that could be a little personal for Golden State. February 11th at home versus Portland. I think they got that game circled. I'll just make this statement. I don't think Damian Lillard is going to walk into the Oracle Arena and put up 51 on Golden State.
Damian Lillard is Oakland born and raised. That's you know, personal for Damian Lillard as well.
I
went to his very first game, rookie season at Oracle. He had maybe a couple hundred fans in the stadium, and I think he put up 40-something on the Warriors. I think he has it out for the Warriors almost more than the Warriors should have it out for them. He's a fun player to watch. I think he's up there with
an awesome player.
John Wall, the Westbrooks. That guy can ball.
You'd love to see them play in the first round because they could be the AC. That would be some series.
I would love to see that. That is a great basketball matchup there. I think they can give the Warriors problems. If they can play like they did the last time they played, they could definitely give the Warriors problems. But I think that's hard to sustain for a team of their caliber for that long. But it's up to them. If they can play like that, then they have every chance in the world to beat the Warriors.
I understand that. But you know this better than I do. That's a proud group in Golden State. They know that he put 51, everybody talking about that. They're going to be a little angrier and a little more motivated that day. I just got that feeling that Draymond and those guys are going to take it really personal when he comes, when they roll into Oakland.
Oh, yeah. They're more than they are motivated, they're a competitive group, and I just don't think they like losing. And I think a lot of those guys – entered the league kind of with a chip on their shoulder for whatever it was. You know, Curry was always been told he's too small. Draymond Green was told he's a tweener and just won't make it. You know, guys like Sean Livingston who had all odds against them with a gruesome knee injury. I think these guys just kind of are playing with a love for each other and just a love for the game. And I think it shows. And I think that's a lot of professional sports teams miss that. You don't get that type of chemistry where people generally enjoy being with each other on and off the court. And I think it's just that goes to the front office putting this team together, team chemistry. I think it's amazing. It's off the charts. You don't see that much in professional sports these days.
Oh, definitely. And another personal game is Saturday, March 19th at San Antonio, one of the toughest play days. They haven't lost yet, one of the toughest buildings to walk into because you're dealing – they play similar to Golden State. They have a mental toughness about them. So you got to go through hell in a handbasket to get a win in San Antonio. And I know Golden State's probably really looking forward to seeing what they're made of walking into San Antonio.
Oh, yeah. That was I actually was fortunate enough to go to the first meeting on January 25th in Golden State, watch the Warriors beat them by about 30. I think it falls a little more on the Spurs in this case, and LaMarcus Aldridge really had a poor game that game. He needs to step up, and him and Draymond Green have had some battles in the past, even when he was on Portland. So I think it kind of comes down to, you know, he's had good games against the Warriors as well, and the Spurs are more than capable of beating this team. But they're the ones coming from behind, and they're only, I think, 3.5 games back, which is crazy to think about for how good the Warriors have been playing. So, I mean, they have three more games against the Warriors to end up the season.
They sure do.
Yeah, so it's when usually they might be kicking back a little bit. I think the end of this season, in terms of the good teams, it's going to be, you know, going down to the very last couple games, which is exciting for basketball fans because it's just going to roll right into the playoffs. There's good basketball coming up.
Oh, definitely. You know, when March Madness is over, and then we go. In April, that's when they play a lot, and the fans are going to come back from college and really get into the NBA to see those particular matchups. Are you, and this is my final question, are you concerned maybe that they could, because they're playing at such a high level, they could tire out a little bit, even though they're deep toward the end of the year? You don't want to peak early. Is there concerns about that with Golden State?
I've thought about that. I think the bigger concern would be to tire out mentally and kind of get complacent in the fact that they're playing so well. But with a team like the Spurs being right on their heels, I think you said this earlier, they have to keep winning. They have to keep winning not just for their own personal reasons of breaking whatever record, but to lock up the one seed and be in a you know, playing well going into the playoffs. So, you know, it seems like they've been able to still relatively rotate the minutes around and not overwork anybody too hard. But, you know, it's looking at the the big picture, it's like, you know, if the Warriors make another title run this year, play into June, and then you have the Olympics, you know, maybe that's something that you can talk about next year, where these guys have been playing a lot of basketball the last couple of seasons, nonstop. So I think for this year, the core is relatively young, and with everything going on and how well they've been playing, I think they're just going to – I think they're just living off adrenaline, and they're just going to power through it.
Okay, thanks a lot. You are my Steph Curry because you delivered today.
Thanks, man. One other thing I wanted to mention on in terms of different styles from the 90s to today, what I don't really hear people talk about is I agree that people will be able to grab, hand check Curry if he did play in the 90s, but what about what happens when he gets on a pick and roll and he gets a center on him? You know, that's – you can grab and hold him all you want. Center can't guard Steph Curry. So I think he's one of those players that can achieve greatness
in any
generation.
I totally agree with you. I appreciate that nugget. Thanks a lot. Listen, you're going to come back again.
Sounds good. I'll be here.
Okay. Thanks a lot. That was Andrew Flower, who always delivers. I love talking to him. I love getting that West Coast perspective. And he was up early, and he called in. He did an awesome job. Before I go, I do want to talk about the NCAA tournament. It's coming up. A lot of the conference tournaments are going to come up. Right now, the two teams I think that I'm confident in that can get to the Final Four, and there's only two. Maybe after these conference tournaments, I'll sit back and say, you know what? I like these four teams. I like Kansas and Michigan State. Those are the only two teams I trust right now. They could get beat early. This is one of those tournaments where the mid-majors, if you have a mid-major, you got to be excited because everybody is vulnerable. Everybody could get beat. You could see a one seed this year lose to a 16. Would not surprise me. But I'm going to go with Kansas and Michigan State. They're both playing really good. I want to see Kansas tonight versus Texas. I want to see this game and see if Kansas walks into Texas already winning the Big 12 regular season title, nothing on the line, and they still go into Texas and win. I am real sold. Texas is real tough. I saw Texas just take the life out of Oklahoma. Shaka Smart is coaching those kids up. Watch out for Texas when the tournament comes because he's due to make another run. He slipped up a couple of years in tight overtime games when he's with VCU. Shaka Smart got a better crop of players with Texas, and they're going to be a tough out. West Virginia, style they play with Bob Huggins and the way they press, they're going to be a tough out. So you got a lot of tough teams, but they're not great teams. So this makes for a great competitive tournament. So until next Monday, where we'll be talking about the NCAA conference tournaments, I will definitely look forward to talking to you then.